This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Ken Klukowski, a fellow and senior legal analyst at the American Civil Rights Union, the ACRU. He also wrote an amicus brief co-signed by four different organizations in connection with today's case heard before the U.S. Supreme Court, McDonald versus the City of Chicago, questioning the city's restrictive gun control policy. And Ken, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, thanks so much for having me.
Encapsulate for our listeners, because I know a lot of them probably remember the fight at the Supreme Court a couple years ago over the D.C. gun ban. Exactly what's at issue in this case?
What this case is about is when the Bill of Rights was adopted in 1791, originally, it was only rights against the federal government. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or abridging the free exercise thereof. Free speech, free press, unreasonable searches and seizures, the right to a jury trial for criminal matters, especially serious crimes. All of those issues were only rights you had against actions of the federal government. After the Civil War, constitutional amendments were passed. The big one was the 14th Amendment. And the 14th Amendment extended most, not all, but most of the Bill of Rights to the states, or the legal term we use is that the 14th Amendment incorporated many of the rights from the Bill of Rights against the states. And since cities are not sovereign, cities are subdivisions of the state, so anything that's a right against a state is also a right against a city. 2 years ago, the Supreme Court held in D.C. versus Heller that the Second Amendment secures a right for private individuals to keep and bear arms for lawful purposes. The reason that lawsuit, Greg, was brought in D.C. is because D.C. is directly under federal law. It is the federal city. Now, the next question that everyone was asking is, okay, is this among those many rights from the Bill of Rights that also apply to the states? And so that was the lawsuit brought against Chicago, because the Chicago gun ban is almost as much of an absolute ban, a categorical ban, as D.C. had. And so a lawsuit was brought in Chicago. It's gone all the way up. And today the Supreme Court heard arguments on whether it should extend the Second Amendment against the states.
Well, let's follow up on a couple of the points you made there, Ken. First of all, I know a lot of conservatives don't want a huge federal hand in things. They kind of like local jurisdictions to figure things out for themselves. So explain why you believe that this, in fact, should apply to the city.
Absolutely. That's a great question. The 14th Amendment was intended to extend certain rights against states. After the Civil War, a number of rights were being denied, especially to black Americans in southern states. A lot of their rights were being denied. And so the issue of the 14th Amendment was to declare that if you live in any of the states of this country or in our territories, if you live within the United States, then you're not just a citizen of the state where you live, you are also an American citizen, and that the Constitution gives you rights as an American that you can assert against any level of government in this country. As I said earlier, such as free speech, such as free press. Before the 14th Amendment, whether or not you had a right of free speech or a right of protest, those were issues to be decided by your local and state governments. It's the 14th Amendment that federalized those issues. So the issue becomes that the Supreme Court has held that only those rights that are considered fundamental rights are incorporated against the states. Now, the court has gone back and forth regarding what exactly a fundamental right is over the past 100 years. There's really three different tests out there, and there's a lot of ambiguity as to which one the proper test is. That's a big point that came up today. But everyone acknowledges that those fundamental rights should be rights that you get to enjoy against your states. And so the argument today centered on whether the right to bear arms is among those, and the argument today was pretty compelling that it is.
You were in the courtroom, is from what I understand, Ken. So,
that's correct.
What did you sense in the breakdown of the nine justices? Was it pretty much along the lines we'd expect?
Well, it actually got real interesting, because the lead lawyers on this case, the pro-gun side was actually split. There were a couple libertarian activists who had brought this case. And then the NRA was also a party to this case. The libertarian activists, they were pushing for the court to go through what is called, I know this sounds like it's in the weeds, I'll keep it tight, to go through what's called the Privileges or Immunities Clause of the 14th Amendment. Now, to do that, they would have to overrule a huge 1873 case, a historic case called the Slaughterhouse Cases. And these libertarians were pushing for that because they wanted the court to open the door for future courts to be able to declare all sorts of new federal rights, such as a right to be free of minimum wage laws or a right to be free of building codes, to basically set up federal judges to be able to sit in judgment over state and local economic laws and business laws and employment laws. And so for that reason, they were using this case to argue that the Second Amendment should be included in the Privileges or Immunities Clause. The NRA split from that, going through the conventional route, just the way the Supreme Court has always done it over the past 100 years. So the argument, Greg, got really muddled between those two sides. I think it's very clear that at least a majority of the justices, possibly all 9 of them, rejected the idea of completely revisiting the Privileges or Immunities Clause in the slaughterhouse cases, and in doing so, perhaps totally overhauling the system of government we have in this country as to what issues are state issues and what issues are federal issues. Now, in terms of whether it's going to apply to the states through the conventional route, as the NRA was wisely arguing for, that I think it looked like there was strong majority support for. There looks to be at least 5 votes for that. I think it's a real question as to whether we have more than 5, whether we have 6, whether we have, in fact, all 9. I think it's a stretch to think that we would, but I think the real justice that everyone's going to be looking to in this regard is Justice Sonia Sotomayor, since this became such a big issue during her confirmation hearings last year.
We're talking with Ken Klukowski of the American Civil Rights Union, also filed an amicus brief on behalf of 4 organizations which signed on to that brief. And Ken, in terms of the path that this case has taken, we know that in the D.C. versus Heller case, Heller won at the appellate level. What was the story with this case?
Well, this case was before the Seventh Circuit Appeals Court when it was on appeal, and the Seventh Circuit held correctly, in my view, that the Supreme Court had said way back in 1876 that the Second Amendment did not apply to the states. And when the Seventh Circuit heard that, it was 3 judges of the Seventh Circuit, 2 of which don't really like guns but are still conservative. They correctly cited to Supreme Court precedent and said, look, the Supreme Court has spoken on this, even if it was more than 100 years ago. They have spoken on it. Therefore, it's not for us to second guess them. We are bound by their determinations. And basically, they just tossed it straight up to the Supreme Court. So the intermediate court here said the Second Amendment did not apply to the states, but they also made it clear that they were not doing their own fresh analysis, that they just considered themselves bound by what the Supreme Court itself had said about this way back in the 1800s.
Ken, fascinating stuff. Thanks so much for your time today and helping us understand exactly what went on before the justices.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Ken Klukowski is a fellow and senior legal analyst at the American Civil Rights Union. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.